Father God, we do lift up Tony and Michael, and we thank you so much for them, Lord. We thank you for their dedication to this church, their service, and as they're away getting rested and enjoying each other's company, and I just pray that you'd really bless them, Lord, that you would give them the rest that they need, that they would just be re-energized and come back just on fire and just totally wanting to bless you and this church, Lord. We do pray for their safe return. We ask that you would bring them back to us so that they can continue the work, Lord. And Father, I pray right now for each one of us that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit has to say, that our hearts would be open to what your Holy Spirit has to say to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the basic topic of my study here is intimacy with Christ, but we got to remember that we are being transformed, or at least we should be transformed, and that is each and every one of our goal, is to be transformed into Christ. And is that happening? We have to ask ourselves that. Do you look more like Christ today in the way you behave, the way you think, the way you do, than you did yesterday or a year ago? Or have you changed enough? Have you just gotten good enough, or just better than your spouse, or how is that going for you guys? And so there's a little bit of an examination in the heart today, I hope. So we've been given a new heart, speaking of that, and but we also still have our old nature, and so we have to deal with that nature. And we need to let that new nature shine through. Just like when John the Baptist first encountered Jesus, he said, I must decrease, he must increase. Is that happening in each one of us? And if it's not happening, there's a real good reason for it, and that's what we want to hone in on today. So what we want to look at is intimacy with Christ. So Romans 6, Paul talked about a frustrating aspect of having not only the old nature but the new nature. You know, that he was frustrated with the fact that he did things that he didn't want to do, and the things he wanted to do, those he didn't do. And I feel that way a lot. I don't know about you, but that can change. You know, you don't have to live in that frustration, but it requires you to be intimate with Jesus Christ. And so we're going to really look at that transformation process that's supposed to be happening in each one of us. It's the intimacy with Christ is the number one thing that will transform us. So we all have the same goal, and we all have the same Bible, and we all have this Holy Spirit that's moved into our hearts and given us this new possibility, this new potential of walking and looking like Christ. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You see, we need to be conformed, or rather, if you look at that word in the Greek, it's has metamorpho in there, and that word means to be transformed. You start out as one thing, and you need to transform into something better, and that's what we need to be about. We need to be doing that. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the Holy Spirit's been given us to us to help that transformation process. But it requires us to be intimate with the Lord. Now, conformed, again, like I mentioned before, it means to be like in nature or character. So we want to be like Christ. And we need to be transformed to the person of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's every one of our goals. And it's the same for all. So my nature and character is to decrease, and the nature of Christ is to shine through. Is that happening? And I'll be quite honest with you. I struggle at times, but I've discovered what it is, that when I'm struggling, I know what I need to do. I need to get alone and be with Christ. I hope that becomes a habit for you as well. Now, the phrase Christian has become just a title. It just, in our day and age, it means where you go to church or who you put your faith in. But originally, it was a derogatory term by which people who acted and did like Christ, they were considered to be little Christians, okay, little Christ. You know, in our day and age, it's just, you know, what you believe in or who you believe in and where you go to church. But it really should mean to each one of us that I'm a Christian, which means I'm becoming more like Christ each and every day that goes by. At least it should be. So hopefully we'll get to the point here. And you're not going to learn anything new today, but I really want you to remember this point of we need to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this transformation is exactly like a caterpillar to a butterfly. You know, we start out like a creepy crawly thing, and then eventually we're going to fly away someday. At least that's the hope, right? So we want to be changed at the core, at the root level. We want to become a totally different creature. And so that word metamorphuo, or to be transformed, is exactly, that's the perfect picture. And I think God created the butterfly and the caterpillar for that example to us from nature, that's the way we're supposed to be, that we're supposed to be changing. And that change can only happen usually in a dark place, right, in the prayer closet, away from everybody else, away from the distractions of the world. And you've got to stay in that cocoon in order for that transformation to take process. And our cocoon should be our prayer closet, right? At least I hope so. So we start out crawling on the ground, and we should be soaring at this point if you've been walking with the Lord. I've been a Christian for 30 years now, and you know, I seem to see more of my sin now than ever. It's ugly, and I wonder if this process is happening. And I do know that when I drive to church or someplace around town here, my old nature sure comes through quite a bit, and that concerns me. So Buzz is driving, you can tell. You know, he's got his fist out, and, you know, so anyway, hopefully they see more of Christ driving on the road. That's why I don't put Calvary Chapel, by the way, on my bumper sticker. So if you wonder why I don't have a sticker, that's why. I don't want to embarrass the church, really. But I got several questions for you today. Are you more like Christ today than when you first believed? That's great. And for a lot of us, maybe that is really the case. But for some of us, maybe not so much. Maybe we're still the same old person. And we have that same old person. But again, that transformation's got to take place. Are we more like Christ today than yesterday? Are you being transformed, or has the process stopped or slowed way down? And of course, the closer you become like Christ, the less progress you might see, right? But are you progressing? That's the point. If there's been little progress towards your goal or our goal of being Christ-like, what is stopping it and hindering it? Okay, and the number one thing that will hinder or slow or stop our transformation is a lack of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, intimacy means knowledge of, having a relationship, getting to know. And of course, John, in the Gospel of John, it tells us that he is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Well, the Word, the Bible, is Jesus. So the more you know your Word, the more you're going to know him and what he desires from you as his child. So it's a closeness, this intimacy. It's relationship. And if we don't draw close to him, we suffer and start looking like our old selves again. And so it's something that we have to discipline ourselves to do. We have to, you know, we have to maintain that relationship. And, you know, in order to have a relationship with somebody, both got to be willing partners, right? And I got a story for that that I'll tell you in a little bit. But it requires closeness to have intimacy. And in order to be transformed, we must be close to Christ. So, and anyone is susceptible of backsliding to the old self. We all have the same issues, and we carry this dead man around with us all the time. And it's like, you know, when you're carrying a dead load, you know, when you apply the brakes or you're trying to drive, it pulls to one side all the time. And so we've got to get offload that dead man as much as we can. Now, even pastors can get into trouble if they don't have intimacy with Christ. You know, pastors are capable of some of the worst possible behavior. You know, and you think, well, man, they're leading studies, they're doing, you know, they're going verse by verse maybe or whatever. But the reality is, if that guy is not seeking Christ for himself, he's going to be capable of falling. And so it requires, even for a pastor, even if he knows the word and all of that, to have intimacy with Christ. That means praying, being in that prayer closet. That means letting the word mold and shape your heart and not being closed off to the word. You know, it's easy to get up here and teach, but it's much harder to actually do the word, right? But even pastors can get into trouble. And so I know that as many of you are working and, you know, you have busy lives, and it seems like you're more busy now than you ever were. That's when we most need to be disciplined to go into our prayer closet and to be reading the word and being in the presence of and under the influence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So it becomes more detrimental for us as we have busier lives to spend time with Christ. Okay? And so we have to be disciplined to do that. And, you know, people don't like to hear that word discipline, but all it is training yourself to do godly things, okay? And we don't do it for reward. We do it because of who he is, right? He's our Lord and Savior. We don't do it. We've already got a reward, right? Salvation. It's been promised. We're waiting for our new bodies, but, you know, so it requires us to really be seeking the Lord, even the busier we get. And I can think of at least two or three older pastors from 100 years ago, and as their lives got busier and busier, they stayed more in their prayer closet. They felt the necessity that if I'm having to do more things throughout the day, then I better pray more. And do we reflect that same concept? And to be quite honest, I think we allow the world to creep in and busyness of life. And even being retired, I retired, going on 9 years. It seemed like I got busier after I retired. That there's more, you know, it seems like, well, I got all this time, but really what happens is a friend calls, hey, can you help me out with this? And it's like, next thing you know, you're just all over the place, you know? And so we've all got to be careful, whether you're retired or consider yourself retired. And there's no retirement in Christianity, by the way. Or whether you're working, you know, it's essential for each one of us to make time for the Lord. We must do that. So let me ask again, are you showing up more than Christ is in your life? Are you showing up more? And it could be directly related to how much time you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ. So how much time do you give Jesus to work in you each and every day? You know, are you giving him the front of your day and the world the rest, or are you giving Jesus the rest of your time? You know, if that's the case, it's likely you're probably having some troubles and you're showing up more than Jesus Christ is. So think about that for a little bit here as we go through this. Now, if you're relying on legalism or works to prove your salvation, good luck with that. The most important sign that you are Christ is that you become like him, okay? It's not what you do for him. And we all have good days and bad days. There's days when, you know, I do get it right. And then there's days when I just am so far from that image that I want to be. And it usually is directly related to how much time I spend with the Lord. So ask yourself, are you giving him enough time to change your life? Because that's what he's after. Okay, I'm going to say this several times. The Lord is more interested in the minister than in the ministry. You understand that? It's not about what you can do, it's about who you become. And the more you become like him, the more better prepared you are for ministry. Because he certainly doesn't want me running around doing ministry on his behalf, right? He wants the Holy Spirit working through me. And the only way that that can happen is I've got to die to self. And so that becomes the discipline as well. So if you're thinking, well, you know what, I've believed and I'm saved and you know, that's good enough, you know, I don't need to really study the Word, then you got problems. Now, when I first got saved, I started, you know, Bible study like crazy. I wanted to know more than the pastor knew. I didn't want him to pull anything over my eyes. So I wanted to really know the Scriptures. Well, it started pouring in. It started to do stuff, but I became like John the Baptist, right? At work, people started running from me because I was calling them brood of vipers, you know, and stuff. And they were like, good grief, he's become one of those Jesus freaks, but man, we can't get close to this guy. You know, he's, you know, so judgmental and everything. And it dawned on me after about a year or so that I wasn't having much success winning anybody over to Christ because I was preaching at them instead of being Jesus to them. And when I got that straight, you know, I started to really dive into the Scriptures for me personally, not for them. And I began to change. And when I began to change, that began to open up doors. And I remember one time, one of my engineers, I was a firefighter for years, and one of my engineers, there was a funny thing that happened. I told this story before, I think, here, but we had gotten a bunch of engines, old fire engines, that we were going to send to the Marshall Islands out in the Pacific. And so my crew, I turned it over to them. I said, hey, look, you got this fire engine. I want you to beautify this old piece of junk and get it in as best condition as you can. And, you know, and they worked their tails off for it. They painted the undercarriage. They polished brass. They, you know, did all kinds of stuff. And one day, one of the firefighters says, hey, Cap, can I pull the engine out and do pre-trip inspection? And I said, absolutely, sure, go ahead. And so he got in, and as I walked past that old engine, which they had just finished painting the undercarriage of the engine, as I walked past, I happened to notice we were painting the inside of the apparatus room, beige of all colors, and I happened to notice the paint was laying in line with the wheels. And so I thought, well, if he does his walk around like he's supposed to, he'll see the paint cans and he'll move them out of the way. Well, he was so excited to do the pre-trip inspection, he jumps in the engine, starts it up. Right then, the phone rings. I go to the back of the apparatus room, and I answer the phone, and all of a sudden, I hear him pull out, and I hear this explosion of paint cans. And that beige paint was all underneath that undercarriage, and it was all over the wall, a wall that we had just painted white. And you know, my engineer came running, and he looked at me, and he goes, you won't believe what, you know, this guy did. And I said, I know exactly what he did. And I laughed. And a few minutes go by, I hang up the phone, and Terry, who had known me my engineer had known me from day one, we actually had an apartment together. He said, man, you really have changed. The old Buzz would have just tore him up for doing that stupid mistake. You know, and that was one of those moments that it was just like, wow, I am really changing. You know, and other people could see. But it was directly related to me being under the influence and being in a close relationship with Jesus himself. And so if you're not changing, if you haven't had much progress in this area, then that's where you need to go. That's what you need to do, is you need to, again, develop that fresh relationship with Jesus Christ. So, and it will change you. He will change you. We'll get to that. So that's that. Have you started to depend on legalism or proof that you're a Christian based on where you go to church or the fact that you put your faith in Christ? Now, I'm not saying that you can lose your salvation. Again, at Calvary Chapel here, we don't believe in Calvinism, where you're once saved, always saved, and we don't believe in Arminism, where you can lose your salvation, but we're down the middle road here, that it's all about abiding in Christ, living in him, day to day, moment by moment. That's what it's about. If you maintain that, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation, right? So it's about abiding with Christ. And so and that abiding is what impacts us in our internal man, and it begins to change us, okay? So if you think, well, you know, I've got faith in Christ, and you're relying just on that faith, I want to shake your tree a little bit today. Now, I got another story for you. This is about relationship. And this is a personal story because it involves my grandmother and my grandfather. Now, they were married both till the day they both, well, he died first, probably several years before she did. But the last several years of their marriage, they essentially were separated. And I'll tell you how bad the separation was. My grandfather lived in Bath, Maine. My grandmother lived in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Okay, you can't get much further away from each other than those two people, right? Now, I know that they didn't talk to one another. They didn't call each other. They certainly, weren't communicating at any level, really. But you know what they did have? They had a legal document that said they were married, right? But were they really married at that point? When you've got that much space between two people, it's a divorce, all right? Now, they had a paper that said that they were married, and she maintained her name as his last name, but they had no relationship whatsoever. I hope your walk isn't like that. I hope that there's no space between you and the Lord. And busyness and life oftentimes put space between us. And so we have to fight to maintain the relationship, that intimacy with Jesus Christ. They both had the same name, but no relationship and no intimacy. No intimacy whatsoever. So if you're relying that, oh, well, I got saved, you know, back, you know, 34 years ago, but nothing's really changed, have you really had a relationship with the Lord? Again, he cares more about the minister than the ministry. And I was talking to the worship team before this, and I really get concerned for those who are serving a lot here at the church, who are always here doing stuff. And even one fella even said to me a while back, he said something to the point of, you know, sometimes I think that by being at church and doing things for the church and for the Lord, that I'm having fellowship with the Lord. But you know what he discovered? That it was crowding in on his prayer time, that he felt like he had to be here to do stuff than to sit and be with the Lord, okay? And we're going to see in a couple of stories here that that's the wrong way to be, that we have to have intimacy with Christ. Now, have you moved away from intimacy with Christ lately? Is something crowding in on that? You got to fight the fight. You got to work at that relationship. And relationships take work. How many people are married here, right? Our relationships, we need to put energy into on a regular basis in order to maintain it. So that's the same thing you got to do with your relationship with Christ. And you will be blessed. And so will others if you do that. So is there, right now, is there such a distance between you and Christ that you no longer are being transformed? You're no longer becoming like Christ. Remember, it's about relationship and it's about intimacy. So let's look at Revelation 2:1 real quick. We're going to, what's interesting about Revelation, and I don't want to get too far into weeds because I can, is that there's a lot of scholars that when we study the book of Revelation, especially the letters to the seven churches, they'll say that there's at least three levels of prophecy here. Number one, is that these letters were from Jesus Christ to seven literal churches, okay? But other scholars believe, too, that not only is that true, that they were actual churches, but that they represent the seven phases of church history. And you can see that when you lay it all out, when you lay out church history, you can see that it kind of really follows closely with these seven letters. But on the third level, is that scholars believe that in every single church all seven of these churches are represented. In other words, there's a person in here right now, I don't know who it is, that is like Ephesus. There's a church, or there's a person in here that may be like Philadelphia, which is awesome, you know, the brotherly love church. And then there might be some in here who have become lukewarm, like the Laodicean church. And we're going to look at that church as well. So the first church here in verse 1, and again, these churches, the likelihood of any one of us. Now, I've gone through phases. You could see all seven churches in my life. Okay? So I think these are phases that we all go through, but we've got to be careful. We've got to, again, have that intimacy and let Jesus speak to our hearts, which is what he's doing right here in this letter. So he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. He knows what you're doing for him. Okay? He knows. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, this church was working. They were laboring. They were doing all kinds of great things in the name of Jesus. They hated false teachers. They had patience of all things. And they were extremely busy for Christ. But they had got something. They had basically got the cart before the horses. Now, we don't know for sure exactly. At least I didn't do any in-depth study here. But I suspect that what was their first love was just sitting at Jesus' feet, worshiping the Lord. But they had gotten busy in the ministry. And of course, church growth, right? Churches grow, some shrink, and you know, they come and go. But there's lots to be done, and gosh, if somebody doesn't do this particular work at the church, then nobody's going to do it, so I might as well go do it. And the next thing you know, you're serving at the church. You know, you're doing as much as you possibly can, but you just crowded Jesus out of your day. Is that happening to you? They had left their first love. And again, it's a guess on my part that they had not maintained intimacy with Christ. I could be wrong on that, but it's a hunch, okay? So then Jesus says, remember. And that's what I'm doing here today, is I'm trying to get everybody here to remember that this is the most important thing, intimacy with Jesus Christ. So what does he say to do to this church? Go back and do the first works. So get back to intimacy with Christ, that discipline. When I first started walking, I wanted to become a prayer warrior. And, of course, I was studying hard. And this is not to pat myself on the back, but this was just my routine. I did it every single day. And I was going to fires and going all over the country. But I maintained 1 hour of prayer, 1 hour of Bible study before I went to work. And there were some days when I had to be at work at 6:30 in the morning, which meant I had to get up at 3:30 to do that. And my pastor was really concerned for me at the point, because he thought, man, you're going to need some rest at some point. You're going to need to get some sleep. And, I just kind of blew them off. And eventually my schedule changed back for good. But, what happened over the last, since I've retired, I thought, you know, I'm going to change my prayer life a little bit. I'm going to be more like Brother Lawrence. You probably never heard of him, but he was a monk. And he just maintained this constant discussion with the Lord day in and day out. But here's one, made this change in my walk about 5 or 6 years ago, and I just suddenly realized not too long ago, I need to get back to an hour in prayer with the Lord for me, not just for the church, for you guys, or for anything else, but just for me, because I suddenly started showing up to a lot of things. And so I need to get back to that same program. That is, again, a discipline that I need to do for myself. And I've started to do it again, and I'm already seeing Christ coming out a little bit. Yesterday, in fact, I was driving from the church here back home, and there was a guy that couldn't maintain his lane in front of me. And if Richard's driven with me, he knows what I'm like. I just kept saying, grace and mercy, Lord, grace and mercy for that guy. Because, you know, and normally I would have, called down fire from heaven on him. But, again, getting back to that, maintaining that relationship with the Lord is vital, and everybody needs to do it, okay? You're not going to change unless you do it. So, again, you know, this Church of Ephesus was working, but they had left their first love. Be very careful with that, okay? You'll begin to see signs and symptoms that there's a problem. And speaking of that problem, in Matthew 7:21, we'll have it up here. It's the old story of Martha and Mary. You're familiar with it. Not everyone who says to... we'll get to that one. I got another one here in front of it. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They called Jesus Lord. They prophesied. They cast out demons. There was miracles performed. But Jesus told them, you know what? Away from me. I never knew you. So again, the whole gist of today is we need to know him. And the only way we can do that is to maintain that relationship with him. It's the most important thing. We need to maintain that relationship. We need to be intimate with Jesus Christ, to be close to remove all the gaps and space between him and I. That's what I need to do. Now, do you need more proof about this works thing? Let's flip over to Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works. Again, Jesus knows what they're doing. But he says, but you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's a strong picture of rejection right there. But Lord, we were doing stuff for you. He says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And that verse scared me. Early on, it scared me. Okay? Both those verses, the one I just read before this in Matthew, and this verse scares me. And Tony talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The Matthew verse about, away from me, I never knew you. You know, that's a scary verse. Do you know him today? Are you intimate with him? Now, Jesus, he says to them, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. And I've always struggled with that. What is he talking about? Buy from me gold. We ever heard the phrase, time is money, right? To me, time is costly. Time is expensive. You know, we don't know how much we have of it. I need to spend time. I need to purchase time for Jesus Christ in my life. That's what I think this is saying and hinting to. Now, I could be wrong, and you can point me out when you find out. But we need to give time to the Lord. We need to make it the most precious of our time. And again, is he getting the front of your day or the best of your day, or is he getting the leftovers? Be very careful. it might be here that he's saying, spend time, more time with me, that you may be rich and have white garments, that you may be clothed with, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This group had no relationship with Jesus. Jesus was on the outside. He had to knock to get somebody's attention. The result of the disconnect between Christ and this church was that they were self-deceived, number one. They thought they were rich, but they were really poor spiritually. They were wretched. They were miserable. They were spiritually blind to their own wretchedness, their shame. And that's how we can get when we're not in that connected relationship with Jesus Christ, that intimacy, that time that we give him to speak to our hearts and to retrain our minds and our thoughts. And again, notice that Jesus came knocking on their door. Who's the pursuer here, right? God is after us to have relationship with him. He said, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. If you turn around, he's willing, he's wanting to have more intimacy with each one of us. Again, it's about the minister, not the ministry. Okay? And in that culture, in the Jewish culture, to have dinner with somebody else was intimate fellowship. That's what it was a sign of. The Jews, that's why the Pharisees had such issue with Jesus eating with the sinners. He was having intimate relations, essentially relationships with sinners. How could that be? You know, you're supposed to be a godly man and all of that. Well, did not those disciples that sat with him and ate with him get changed because they were in his presence? We need to have fellowship. Is Jesus knocking on the door of your heart today? Do you have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to you regarding your time with Jesus? Are you spending enough time with Jesus? Now, some of you, it only takes 5 minutes. Apparently, there's a book out that says that, 5 minutes with Jesus. I got to have hours with him. If I don't have hours with him, you don't want to be around me. Okay? Is 5 minutes enough? For most of us, I would say we've all had kids go to school, right? They've all been under the influence of the government. Are they likable when they come back home after all of that? Not so much. They're just like the government or their friends, okay? We want our kids to be under our influence. Jesus wants us to be under his influence, and we need to do that. It's work. Now, John 15, 4 through 6, it says this. Jesus says, in one of my favorite portions of Scripture, Jesus said this, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We must maintain that close relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, we're going to dry up, and we're going to be worthless for the kingdom. We're not going to be able to produce fruit. Okay? Without intimacy and close relationship with Christ, there's no real fruit produced in our life. It's dry service, oftentimes no joy. That's the sign, those are signs, that you're not spending enough time with Jesus. Now, you got Martha and Mary in Luke 10, 38. I'm almost done. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." You see some of the issues there? Distracted with much serving. Complaining about serving the Lord. She's there to serve the Lord. But she starts complaining. She becomes overburdened. Is that the way you feel? Those that are serving in the church and in the community as well. On Christ's behalf. He cares more about you than that service. Martha's not focused on Jesus, but she's distracted with much serving. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You see, we've got to stop worrying about service. I mean, there are some of you that need to start stepping up who have the character nature of Christ and start serving. But there are many that I know that are running on empty. And when that happens, you start to complain. You start to dry up, you know. And if there's any fruit coming after that, it's usually rotten, right? So pay attention to that. The more you're sitting at his feet enjoying fellowship with him, the more you will become like him. That's the goal. In the Old Testament, in the Psalms, there's two places where it's, and it's in the negative because it's talking about idols, but the psalmist writes and says that you will become like the idols you serve. Okay? You will become like that. Well, that's in a negative sense. Idols were stupid and dumb and couldn't speak, but the principle itself is true. That if you become like the God you worship, then it's time that we worship Jesus so that we might become like him. Again, intimate fellowship with him. So, one last thing here. Remember what the fruit is that Jesus was talking about here? Jesus said that there's only one way to produce fruit. You got to stay connected to me. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law." You see, when we stay connected to him in intimacy, this fruit, it may cycle, you know. There may be dark periods in wintertime, but there's going to be a time when you start producing that fruit again. And that's what God wants to do in each one of our lives. But it starts with the relationship to Jesus Christ. I hope you got that. Again, for the last time, Jesus cares more about the minister than he does the service you can render. You can do both, by the way. But it is you can serve the Lord and be in fellowship with him. And you should be, moment by moment. But there's times, but if we're not getting alone with the Lord, that service becomes kind of burdensome and dry. So be careful about that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's pray and have the worship team come back up for one last song. Let's bow our hearts. Father God, we just give you praise and thanks that you are so patient with us, Lord God. And Father, I admit that there are times when I get the cart before the horse. And help me to keep things in line and in order. Father, help each one of us really evaluate how much time we're spending with you, how much of the transformation process is going on right now in each one of our lives. I pray that each one here would become on fire for you, Lord, and really, again, evaluate the time spent with you. May it not just be quality, but may it be quantity as well, just like your disciples who spent day and night with you. May we spend day and night with you. In Jesus' name, amen.